Maseches Avodah Zarah is composed of 5 prakim. I think that Siman Sadi Gimel is the first time that over the course of Hilchos Bas Bechal that we really engage with Maseches Avodah Zarah in a very significant way. 5 prakim Maseches Avodah Zarah. The first 2 prakim are not really about Avodah Zarah as much as about halachas of non-Jews. There is halachas that govern how Jews interact with non-Jews. From a Hilchas Kashrus perspective, the most significant Kashrus aspect of the first 2 prakim are a series of 3 Mishnayos deep in the second parak that talk about different types of food items and other items one might get from a non-Jew. A series of 3 Mishnayos, first a list of those items which you get from a non-Jew, which are Asur Bahana, typically an Avodah Zarah connection. The last of those 3 Mishnayos is items which are mutter, even to eat. And the middle Mishnah are those items which are asr b'achila mutter b'ana. Different items like bishul akum and chalav akum and so on and so forth. Items you get from a non-Jew that present some kashrus problem or another. And again, the 3rd Mishnah is items which are not only mutter b'ana, even mutter b'achila. In loosely speaking, we would say those are category 1 items. Items that don't even require Hashkacha. So the first 2 prakim mesechta are about halachas of non-Jews, halachas that govern the interaction between Jews and non-Jews. And the 3rd parak and the beginning of the 4th parak are about avodah zarah, actual avodah zarah, not the forbidden act of worshiping avodah zarah. That's a mesechta Sanhedrin topic, but items which are avodah zarah items, isuri hana, which items are either deities, you know, as focuses of worship, or items that were used in worshiping Avodah Zarah and so forth. That's the 3rd parak in the beginning of the fourth parak. The halachas of Avodah Zarah, the halachas of churches, and so on and so forth. And then the last parak and a half, the end of the 4th parak, going into the 5th parak, goes back to halachas between Jews and non-Jews, and kashrus, and specifically yayin, the halachas of non-Jewish wine. The last parak and a half, there's a lot of material. Near the very end of the 5th parak, the Mishnayos begin to talk about the equipment, the halachas of the equipment that's used for making wine. There's a Mishnah near the end of Ein Dalam Aveis, how you would kosher a non-Jewish winery if you want to begin to use it for kosher wine. And that then brings us to the last topic in the Masechta. That's the last mission in the Masechta, Ayin Heim and Beis, are the halachas moving from clay hayayin to kelim in general. That's the mission on Ayin Heim and Beis. What are the halachas of clay nachrim, of non-Jewish food equipment? And as we saw, as we began to see b'chavrusa, so that's two issues, it raises 2 issues. One issue is tefilas kelim, which is not our topic right now, but a fascinating topic, maybe, blinet at some point in the future. We'll get to Simen Kuf Chaf, the halachas of tefilas kelim. Then the Mishnah also talks about the halachas of kashering kelim, and that will bring us into the world of Bas B'chav. So let's take a look at this Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Halokher here in Ayin Heim Beis in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the last mission of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Halokher klei tashmish min ha'ovdei kochavim. I buy a klei tashmish, kelim that are used for food from a non-Jew. Eser darko lahatbil yatbil, some things only require tevila. Lahagil yagil labin ba'uri labin ba'ur, things which are used in hot water, they're going to need to kasher them with hagala by putting them through boiling hot water. Things which are used in dry heat, not just in wet heat, but in dry heat, then you need to kasher them through libun. And the Mishnah gives an example of that: a shvud v'ha'askalam in labnon ba'ur. If you have a spit or a grill or a griddle or something like that, where the food is placed directly on it, dry heat. So that required, it's insufficient to do hagala. Hagala is not strong enough to remove the treif of blias in a grill, in a spit. You need to do what's the stronger level of kashrin, which is libun. This is the principle This is a principle that the Gemara and the Poskim have, that kibola o kach polta. The way it's bolea is the way it's polate. To be bolea is literally to swallow, and to polate literally is to spit out. The way that the kli swallowed the blia means swallowing, right? The way the kli swallowed the flavor from the trefa flavor of the trefa food, that's the way it's going to spit it out. So at least in broad strokes, that means that if it's used in wet heat, if it's only used in wet heat, then it suffices to do hagala to remove the blia. If you have pots and ladles and things like that, all you need to do is hagala. But if it was used in dry heat, so then hagala is insufficient. You need to do the stronger libun. That's definitely a topic we already came across in the past. Now, the Gemara, at the beginning of the Gemara, we're going to skip, at least for now, maybe bleed out at some point in the future if we get back to Tfilas Kalim. The sugya of Tfilas Kalim is the middle of Ayin Heim and Beis, from right after the Mishnah all the way to the two dots in the beginning of the wide lines. That is 95% or more of what the Talmud Bavli has to say about Tfilas Kalim is right here. The Hanageli Yoneinu is in the wider lines. The wide lines at the bottom, the Tana Rabbah, two dots, the Tana Rabbah. Tana Rabbah opens with a brisa that expands upon what the Mishnah told us, and then we're going to see where the Gemara is going to take it. Tana Rabbah. Hello, Keach, Klei Tashish Min HaHakam. Again, here we are, Avodah Zara, the bottom of Ayin Heim Beis. Hello, Keach, Klei Tashish Min HaOvdekochavim. It's the truth is, you know, when we learn Masechet Avodah Zara, one of the big questions is, when are we referring to Ovdei Avodah Zara, and when are we specifically, when are we referring more generally to non-Jews, to Nachrim, to Goyim? And it gets a little confusing because over centuries of Christian-imposed censorship, so very often when there was a halacha that had to do with either with a Nachri or a guy in general, or more specifically with an Oved of Avodah Zarah, out of fear of the Christian censors, the Jewish publishers would change it to the more politically correct but inaccurate term, Oved Kochavim, or Oved Kochavim Mazalos, or Resha Tevis Akum, like Bishol Akum. Now, literally, Oved Kochavim Mazalos means a star worshiper, and this was a way of placating the Christian censors that, it's not about you, we're talking about the pre-Christian Roman pagans. Talk about the pre-Christian Greek pagans. The ones who worship the star worshippers. People who worship Zeus and Jupiter and so forth. It's never the case. It's never the case that Gemara is only referring to Ovdei Kochavim Mazalos in particular. Sometimes the Gemara is referring specifically to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. There are some dinim at the beginning of the Masechta that have to do specifically with those non-Jews who worship Avodah Zarah. And there are many dinim in the Masechta, probably most, that certainly in the first two prakim, in the end of the Masechta, that we said that to talk about how we relate to non-Jews, most of the dinim have to do with non-Jews in general. For instance, this din. This is not really about Ovdei Kochavim, this is really about Goyim, about Nachrim. Halakeach klei tashmish min ha-Nachrim. A Jew buys food utensils from a non-Jew. So what's the din? So here the Brisa expands in the Mishnah. Dvar Mishnah L'shtamesh Behen. And the Mishnah gave three cases. The Gemara is going to give, this Brisa is going to give four cases. If you have something new that was never used, fresh out of the package, and it's not a package that was, not a return that was retaped, never used, then the Matzbila in vain Torah, just do Tevila. You still have to do Tevila Skelim. Do Tevila Skelim even if the Kli was never used, as long as it was owned by non-Jew, that's the preceding sugya which we're skipping. The Tfilas Kalim applies even if the kli is kosher. And that's case number one. Case number two, Dvarim Shinishtamesh Ma'adei Tzonein. You have a kli that was used, was only used for cold. You know, kosos, ketonios, slochios. They have cups and pitchers. So then, Madichan Umatbilan Vehin Torah. Not enough to be to Tovil, you're also going to have to do Hadacha. This takes us back to the beginning of Simon Sadi Aleph. You're going to have to clean the surface. There's no blia. If you use cold, there's no absorbed flavor. But you have to clean the surface. As an aside, this is often not the case with Zman Hazeh. This is the Starbucks question. The one of the devils in the details nowadays is dishwashing. Very often, you may have a cup that was only used for cold, but if it gets washed in the sink together with treif for things, so it may have, it potentially, depending on the details, it may have become treif when it was washed. So that's why it's not always the case that something that was that's meant to be used for cold is necessarily does not require kashering. Or to give, that's an industrial or a restaurant setting. Let's talk about a home setting also. You know, someone calls and says, right, the kids made chocolate milk, cold, not hot chocolate. The kids made chocolate milk, and they used, to mix it, they used a fleishig spoon. Or they made hot chocolate, but by the time they stuck the spoon in, it was ready, no longer had cooled off, it wasn't yatsa lettuce bowl. So it sounds like it should be open and shut case. But the spoon is kosher because it's drum shin shan shun. So just medichan, just make sure that the surface is clean. If you remove the residue, you're fine. But you can't stop there. The next question has to be, and is it still dirty or was it washed? And if it was washed, how was it washed? Was it washed, did you put it in soap right away, or we'll get to that in a moment, or not? Did you wash in hot water and cold water? Usually the safest thing to do when you have a basar b'chal of shayla is you want to separate everything and wash things in cold water and soap. But if you have a spoon that was used for cold chocolate milk, but then you stuck it in the sink and you washed it in hot water, well, when you poured the hot water on it, that may have been mavliya, the remnants of the chocolate milk, into the fleishik spoon. So that's, you got to be careful. But at least in principle, if it was only used for cold, maybe if at some point we discuss more the dinim of Hagal in particular, Kuf Chafal, at least something that was primarily used for cold, you buy it from the non-Jew, so cups and cold drink cups, not the mugs meant for hot things, or pitchers, or let's say a fruit bowl or something like that, a sugar bowl, used for cold, if you use for cold and perhaps for a tray of items, so medichan, you have to clean the surface thoroughly, so there's no surface residue, and then you have to, if you buy it from the non-Jew, you have to tovel, and then it's kosher v'yashar. Number three, dvam shetash behem adei chamin, if it's used with hot water, like yoros, kumkumus, and mechamei chamin, you have pots, kettles, other types of samovars and urns, magilam ad bilvein tohar. You have to kosher them in boiling hot water and tovel, and then they are tahar. Finally, dvam shetash behem adei ha'ur, things which use with dry heat, with the open fire, you go in shpudin, askalos, spits and grills, milabnon umatbilim eitur. Then those require libun. Libun, and then you have to tovel them. Okay. So the Brisa, the ratio of the Brisa expands upon the Mishnah. It broke out the three cases into four, because the Brisa made it clear, on the one hand, that tevila is required even for a kli that was never used. And the Brisa also spoke explicitly about hadacha. There'll be situations where there's no b'liya b'tzonein, generally, but you're still going to have to clean the surface and the daibas. And they also mentioned, again, as they mentioned, it, both Hagala and Libun, Kibolo Kach Polto, and then the Braisa goes on to add another line, or two. There are two versions the Gemara has of what the last line of the Braisa is. Kulon Shishtaish, Ashul Yatva, Ashul Yagala, Ashul Labein. So this is all what you're supposed to do. Up until now, the Mishnah is talking L'chadchila. Here's what you're supposed to do. You went shopping in the store, or you went shopping at a yard sale, you go on Craigslist. So what do you do? So here's the instructions, four different sets of instructions. And let's say you didn't follow instructions, b'di'evad, literally b'di'avad, you didn't. Instead of following instructions, you bought it from the non-Jew, and you went ahead and used it without kashering. Now what? Tani chada aser v'tani idach muter. So the reisha, so there are two. This brisa came in two versions. In both versions, the reisha is identical. The two brises agree in terms of what you ought to do, what the instructions are. But the brises differ in terms of the bidyevet. One brisa says if you use the kalim without proper kasher, then the food is treif. And the other one says no, the food is kasher. So the Gemara says, what's the issue? What's the Yeshua Machlekes? What's the Vashbashet Machlekes? What's the Nukus Machlekes? Whether kashering, unkashered kli makes treif or not? but their unkasher kli makes trefer now. So what's the issue? The Gemara says, lakasha, very bottom of ayin hayin beis, hakaman darmanos tavkam aser, hakaman darmanos and tamlufkam mutter. The question is, the reason why you would say it's mutter is because the absorbed flavor in the pot wall, or in the wall of the pan, or the wall of the urn, or whatever, whichever item we're talking about, the flavor degrades. It's no longer pleasant. It's going to go into the food. It's not going to, at the very least, different versions, Rambam Ravid and 2 days in Tosfos, exactly how to say this, but the very least, the minimal way to say it, is that whatever flavor was sitting in the pot wall, you know, it's not exactly, you may have made delicious ratatouille, and the ratatouille itself was fantastic, but so if you, the ratatouille that you spooned out of the pan onto a plate, you ate with a fork and knife, it was delicious. But that bit of the ratatouille then, instead of going onto your plate, got absorbed into the wall of the pan, and then later on it's going to come out when you make broccoli. That flavor is not quite, it was sitting in the wall of the pan. It's not so tasty. And at the very least, it's not going to be a net gain to the broccoli. The broccoli will not taste better because it got the recycled ratatouille flavor into it. That's no sintam lufgam. It's going to be a net loss. It's the nesinas tam of the ratatouille from the wall of the pan into the broccoli, it's going to be poking. It's going to, if anything, it's going to reduce the flavor of the broccoli. Now, the broccoli will still be tasty, but it'll be a drop less tasty. To the extent that there's any flavor added, it will be less tasty than it would have been without that the blia from the dofen akadera, from the charsus akadera. The Gemara says that's the machlokas atanoim here with the no stam of kamas mutarasa. I have a flavor of a, again, it has to be taught a trefer ratatouille. I made ratatouille and ham, whatever it is. Or I had, I don't know, tevel vegetables. So the trefer ratatouille flavor goes into the pan, and then later on comes out into the broccoli. So now you have the tam, the trefer ratatouille, and the broccoli. The question is it's a nosu tam lufgam. So is that us or is that mutter? So the Gemara says, okay, that's the machlokas, is the two length versions of the brisa. Yeah, question.
Does the man of Gemara hold nosu tam lufgam is usher also hold, or do both? I guess, but do both also hold that? Remember earlier we had the idea of after the sultra mutter or after the sultra usher. So like the more you cook it, the more the flavor should eventually come out of the walls too, and into whatever else you're cooking. Like you can't, like if you're saying like if eventually you end up cooking har stuff in the pot, and then the flavor comes out of the wall into the food. Even if it's not gone, but eventually you should be able to get rid of the flavor. Like the flavor should be out of the bowl.
Okay.
Hold that as well. That did they have to hold? Therefore, the actual sosa was usur. Like even you can't ever extract the flavor out of the wall.
Okay. So Eric, so you're asking. Let's separate that from those time of a little bit. But you're asking in general. You're asking a sort of broader question. You're telling me that the treif of blias make the next food to treif, which, by the way, it should be noted, appears to line these two versions. So we came across in Chulin twice in Chulin, once in the Masechet Zvachim, a different brisa seems to line up with this. Kedere should be shabbos basolei vashbo chalav bim bishol benos and tam. Right, there it's not even treif. There it's just fleishiks to milchiks. That you have the fleisha, you're not allowed to cook milchiks in the fleisha kapat. That's not just eshel chatchila; it's even b'diavad. In bishabonos, if I'm going to ascertain that there's enough that the tam basar from the fleisha kapan is not batzel b'shishim and the milchiks I'm making the fleisha kapan, so then it's taka treif, which appears to line up with the brisa that says aser. So you're saying this notion appears again. We'll see what the Gemara does with the brisa. You're saying this notion that blias are not just an ishul lechatchil, but even ishul b'diavad, so is it truly olam vad? You're saying maybe if they use it enough times, eventually, essentially, I think what Eric, what you're asking, we're going to see this not in Siman Tzadikim, but a later Siman Bas B'chalav. The question is, look, there is a way to remove the blia from the pot, and that's what we just spoke about. It's Hagala, right, which is appears twice in Chumash, once in Parshas Tzav, and once in Parshas Matos, Parshat Sav in the context of Karbanos, that's coming up in Ayin Vav and Aleph, And Parshas Matos in the context that we're discussing right here, which is Giulei Klei Midyan. And that was the psukim that talk about the incredibly successful, miraculously successful battle the Jews had against the Midyani armies. And the psukim they talk about in Parshas Matos, in Parshas Pinchas, Parshas Matos, psukim talk about the instructions they got from Ribono Shel Olam and how to deal with all the different booty from that route, military route. So there's a lot of different angles and issues there, but one of them is kashrus. And the psukim say, oh, well, in terms of the food utensils, so there's a need for liban, need for hagala, and so on and so forth. That's the source for these dinim. So the question is, if hagala and liban is not just a chatchila, hagala and liban is even an issue b'diavad, they make straif. What's that? So hagala and liban, so when we do hagala, so you had this pot had been used for treif clam chowder, let's say, clam soup. So the pot is mole, it absorbs all sorts of treifa clam flavor. If I take this pot and I stick it into a larger cauldron of boiling hot water, I do hagala, so that's going to remove kabolo kachbolto, it's going to remove, it's going to extract the treifa clam flavor from the pot, and now that pot is kosher. So what you're saying, Eric, is, let's say I didn't stick it into a boiling hot pot of water, but I used that clam pot again and again and again for kosher food. Right? So it may be that there could be other ways that may be the equivalent of Hagala. We're not going to see it in Siman Tzadik Gimel. We'll get to that in a later Siman. Can you ever say that we never formally koshered it, but we used it so many times for kosher food, so should that count as Hagala? So we'll keep our eyes open for that.
Rabbi Colin?
Yeah.
Isn't there an intermediate step?
How do you mean?
So right now we're talking about Nosing Tam Lefkam.
Correct. Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's actually something I want to come back to soon, in terms of blia reduction. We're going to get back to on Ayin Hamid Beis. I actually thought you were going a different direction, which is interesting. When the Gemara has the two brises, Tani Chada Asur Tani Idach Mutar, the Gemara guess could have also said but did not, then maybe the difference is, you know, it depends whether it's Batul B'Shishim or not.
No.
The Gemara did not say that. That if we would have said that, then actually we know machlokas. We say just say right, whenever you have a tani chad, a tani idach, either it's two cases or it's a machlokas. So to a certain extent, we often seem to prefer to assume less machlokas. It seems to be sort of like the inertial, the default position. The Gemara could have said, well, you know, ha be no sintam, ha be no sintam. Why not? Why the Gemara didn't say that? I don't know. Maybe in this case they had a tradition that these brises were in disagreement. That's how they had learned these brises, that there was some sort of machlokas. I don't know. Or just it doesn't, maybe if the brisa is presenting in very general terms, it's hard to assume. We're not talking a specific case. I have it, the brisa begins by talking about the kli. This kli has to be kosher. And let's say you didn't. Maybe it's hard to read it as being the bidyevet as being just a case of batul shishim. I don't know. Anyhow, it is. But you are absolutely correct. Even in a situation where the blias are still active and can make something treif, but even can make something treif, then I can begin to think about batul shishim. Same as an actual tipas chalav. Again, the Mishnah kuf chas nechulin. An actual tipas chalav falls into the basar. So clearly that's real chalav. But still, if it's batul shishim, right, not benos and tam, then it's going to be kosher. That is correct. That is correct. That's it understood here in this brisa in Avot Zara Ayin Hey, and it's explicit in the brisa of Kedesh Bishop Abbasar in Bishop of Nosan Tam. Yes. Okay, so let's see. So what does the Gemara do? The Gemara says, have machlaik is whether Nosan Tam of Kam is mutter or asr. The Gemara says, really? Really? So Gemara says, what? You mean to tell me that there's a machlokas, a brisa, machlokas tanoim, whether blias actually make anything treif b'dievet? Or it says, okay, that is what the Brisa, that is what that Brisa sounds like. But on the other hand, the Gemara says, "Leman Damanos Tam Lufka Mutter Giule Ov Dekochavim Da'atzer Achman Heichem Ashkachasla." The Gemara says, "Really?" But the implication of the psukim is that there is an iser of Giule Nachrim. Where's that case? What do you mean the psukim? So Rashi says, "B'midya," the last Rashi, "B'midya Dechsev Tarviu Be'esh V'Toher the boy Hagala." So it's interesting, you know, because this is the psukim matos talk about kashin. This is interesting. You could have said, so the Gemara is not willing to entertain the possibility that the Hagala and the psukim is just a mitzvah lechatchila, but no impact b'dievet. Perhaps, as Rashi is implying, because of the word vitoher. Put Rashi, vitoher. Not just a mitzvah to do Hagala or libun, but that actually changes the status. Vitar, now it's tahar, now it's kosher. So the Gemara found it hard to believe that the parsha of Klei Midyan in Matos is just a mitzvah. And there are other items in the psukim in Matos are just mitzvahs. But that sounds like it's actually impact. It's going to impact the food. The question b'dievet. The Gemara says, "How can you tell me you have a brisa? It's only talking about a din l'chatchila." The Gemara explains, "Amar b'chia b'rei d'avuna lo astra Torah el kedera bas yoma." It is true that there's a din d'araisa of that treif at kalim will make the food treif, but that's only if it's ben yomo. It's only if it's within the same day. I use the frying pan in the morning for ham and eggs, and for supper I use the frying pan for kosher ratatouille. It's the same day. Ben Yomo, it's the same day. But if I used it for ham on Sunday, used it for vegetables on Tuesday, that's already Eino Ben Yomo, it's no longer the same day, then that's not a problem. The Gemara says, as Rav Chibre Aduna says, when the Torah for the Din D'Oraisa and the Psukim and the Chumash in a Giuli Kli Midyan is only a case of Ben Yomo. Remarkable. It means they talk about the Midyani soldiers used these pans in the morning for pork. And then they went to war. And now, for supper, the Jewish soldiers want to use the pan for their kosher of food. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you got a kosher. Why? And so why is that different? Because we're following the man Dam that knows time of gam is mutter. The answer is, yeah, that's not knows time of gam. Lot knows time of gamu. That it only becomes lefkam after it sits till the next day in the pot. So the Gemara says, really? That's fascinating. So mekam ve'ech lishtri. She's telling me that, God says, 1 second, that means you have a brisa that said you should do hagala, but if you didn't do hagala, it's mutter, at the tanicha the mutter. So why is it mutter? Because we're talking about a case of a bliya tzeina ben yoma. This bliya is ready from yesterday, from last week, from last year. So it won't make the next food kosher food trace. It won't make the kosher food trace, so why are you bothering to kosher at all? The brises, that's what I said before. The brises do not differ in terms of instruction of the chatchila. They're only different in terms of bidyevet. I mean, even if it's an ben yom, I still have to kosher. Why are you bothering to kosher? No, it's kosher. It's kosher already. It wouldn't make the food trace. Because the bli is an ben yom, the bli is already from the day before. So the Gemara says, "Gezerah b'kedera she'ene bas yoma, mishum kedera bas yoma." You're right. Min haTorah, there's no need to kasha that fork that's been sitting on your kitchen windowsill for the last 3 months. You were supposed to kasha and haven't. So min haTorah, you could just take it and throw it back into the silverware bin. Min haTorah, it's fine. Min haTorah, if it sits until she'ene ben yomo, it doesn't even need kasha in chatchila. The whole issue, the reason you have to kasher chachila and ben yomo is midrabanan gezeira atu ben yomo. This is going to get very confusing. So as we said, you always have to kasher, but if you lechatchila, you always have to kasher. But b'di'evet means I forgot the kasher, instead I used it again. So then we differentiate according to this mandamar between ben yomo and ben yomo. Ben yomo taka makes treif, and ben yomo lechatchila you have to kasher. But if you used b'di'evet, you didn't kasher, you did the wrong thing. You violated the din drabanan. You weren't allowed to use it. There's an iser hishtamshus with a kli sheni ben yomo, but it doesn't make the food treif. And the Gemara says, well, how about the other man damar?
It's interesting. The Gemara could have earlier back, instead of saying that the machlokas was between lokash and the machlokas was between man damar says no sgam gam mutter, could just then should have said one mishnah is talking about a ben yoma case and one's talking about a acher ben yoma.
Yeah.
So why did like that would have then it would all fit in with one.
Yes, that's a good point. So Eric's making the point that Gemara could have before have just said it's not a machlokas, it's just hachamai skin, right? Not hachamai skin with batel b'shishim and batel b'shishim, but hachamai skin is a kli ben yomah and ben yomah. It's a somewhat more attractive hachamai skin because it's two different types of kalim rather than two different amounts of food. And being that the brisa began with talking about kalim, it's a more natural type of hachamai skin. And to add to your kasha, the Gemara. At this point, now that we've reintroduced the difference between Ben Yom and Ben Yom, the Gemara now circles back to the other Shitav. The Idach, here in the third line of Vav Manal, the Idach, how about the other Braisa? The other, what is he hold? Kedei Rabas Yom Anami Mifkan Pagma. The one who holds Aser, who says, no, it's not Mifkan Aser, he says, you know what? Ben Yom was also Pagam. They're all Pagam. Fascinating. And that's presumably how he knew. How did he know that no stam v'gam is aser? Because he said, again, going back to we said akasha. How can he say no stam v'gam mutter? No stam v'gam mutter. So what do you? How do you understand the parashan mata? He says no. The parashan mata is talking about yomo, right? And then and it's only becomes pogum by any ben yomo. So and how about the other shita? He says no stam v'gam aser. Yeah, he got it from clay meat. Why? Because he assumes Metzia's question. He assumes even the it's pogrom right away. Again, like we said before, the ham and eggs is delicious, fresh out of the pan. But the stuff that goes into the pan gets absorbed into the charsak deira. So that man that holds even 5 minutes of the charsak deira, it's already not the same. So it's interesting. Even at this point, the Gemara isn't saying, oh, it's actually not a machlokas. It's just two different cases. We're wedded to the notion there is a machlokas. Again, as I said before, we don't have all the traditions that the Amoraim had. They don't tell us, let me put it this way, the Amoraim don't always spell out every single tradition they had about the brises they were dealing with. Sometimes they're implied. So perhaps it's speculation, perhaps the Amoraim knew, they knew that these two brises were in conflict, that this is a machlokas. So they're trying to figure out maybe that was a given. They're trying to figure out, what is the machlokas? What is the machlokas? Maybe. And that's why the Gemara is so convinced of V'idach. V'idach is the other Shita, not the other case. Okay, so what do we do? Let's just encapsulate what we have so far. So far, the Gemara presented that there is a notion of kashrin, and that's become clear that comes from Parshas Matos. We should not forget it also comes from Parshas Tzav. Everyone's going to get to that momentarily. But the Psukim Parshas Matzah tell us a notion of Kasher and Kalim, and specifically that there's more than one eight to Kasher and Kalim. It's something they do Hag'alah, sometimes they do Libun, Kibolo Kachpolto, the different levels of Kashering. The Gemara says, certainly the different levels of Kashering, and you are Mechuyev to Kasher and Kalim again from the non-Jew if they were used. Use Kalim in a way that they were actually Bolea, not just in the Shtanish Betzonen. You have to actually kasher, whether Hagal or Liban has to be determined by the usage of the Kli. But then the Gemara said that there is a machlokas whether if you didn't do Hagalah or Liban, b'diavad is the food, I've used it as a food treif. And the Gemara came to the conclusion that machlokas is about a case of Eina ben Yomo. Everyone agrees that if you use a Kli ben Yomo, without kashering it, that's going to make the second food treif. Again, assuming that, at least you have to figure out, is there shishim or not, but it could potentially make a treif. The blias are still, to borrow the terminology from yogurt containers, when it's a ben yomo, the blias are still live and active. Right? And the actual impact, the food that they go into. Everyone agrees to that. The machlokas and the two brises is how about an eino ben yomo? Eina ben yomo, so tani chad is aser, tani idach mutter. Now, the one who says aser, he holds that all blias are pagum, and all and blias pagumos still make treif. Nosen tam lufkam aser. The other shita holds no. Fresh blias are not pagum. Old blias be'enei b'nyamo are pagum, and once it's pagum, it doesn't make treif. It's no longer live and active. It's you're still mechuyil lechatchila. There's a requirement to kasher, which is usually phrased, at least among the Talmidim of the Rav, as not so much a mitzvah to kasher in Ibn Yomo, but there's the Iser Heshtamshus. From a Ben Am Lamakam perspective, you're not mechuyiv to kasher the fork on the windowsill, maybe Ben Am Lachaver you're mechuyiv to, because your best friend wants you to, so then you're mechuyiv to. But from a Be'am La'amakim perspective, no mitzvah to kasher the Ein Ben Yom fork. If you want to leave it there forever, leave it there forever. But it's usher to use it. It's the Iser Hishtamshus. So if you want to use it, you have to kasher it first. That's the matir of Hishtamshus. Ein Ben Yom, it's usher to use it. If I used it, I did an aver. Aver drabanan of using a kli, a trafically. But the blia is pagum, and this shita holds no stam of gam. Is mutter, so a pagum blia is no longer live and active. It's usher to use it, but it will not impact the food it goes into. How do we, now there are a number of issues in this sugya. The next piece of Gemara, which we'll touch on maybe next time, it raises the question of, is it always true that we differentiate between Haga'ala and Libun? Because that only appears in Parshas Matos, in the context of Gulei Klei Midyan. In Parshas Tzav, we talk about Kashrin came to use for Karbanas that become Nosar. The Torah only talks about Haga'ala. So Gemara's going to pick that up. That's the Hemshecha Gemara and Ayin Vav Amnaf. That's sort of one question, but that's sort of not as related to what we saw so far. Let's put it on the side. Or at least not as obviously related to what we saw so far. So let's put it on the side for now. Tosas is going to raise a question about the long Tosas, the two Tosas and Ayvav and Alf. The first Tosas is going to raise primarily a question of Machlokas Balei HaTosas. How do you define Ben Yomo? How long is a Yom? Do we mean overnight, or we mean 24 hours? That's one issue. The second Tosfos is going to primarily raise a question, but it's going to get them into other issues, halacha ma'aseh issues also, which is, this is a funny din d'rabanan. I understand. The kli is a problem, but the food is not. They say, gzeira ein ben yomo to ben yomo. But still, it's sort of like a funny... So why is it exactly to be on the food is rave? It's like a weird place to be. So Gurdjieff said, oh no, they had to make exactly drive on. The Tosfos is not happy with this. They're going to give an interesting lumdus, and the lumdus is going to have a lot of practical ramifications, one of which they're going to raise. So again, one issue is how long is a yom? Tosfos also going to talk. There's the issue of restarting the clock. And the second Tosfos again is going to talk at the question of why are we differentiating. But the most basic question of all, of course, is how do we pass it? And again, just to clarify once more, because again the Shachvatar is a little bit circuitous. A machlokas tanoim in the way the Gemara fears eyes is a machlokas hatanoim. Does the Einim ben Yomo kli make the food treif? I used the frying pan for ham on Sunday. Let's give a more Yiddish example. Right? I had a milchika frying pan. I used a milchika frying pan in the morning. Sunday morning we made milchika pancakes, buttermilk pancakes. Right? Accidentally used that same frying pan Sunday evening for salami and eggs. Right? So number one, salami and eggs are a problem. Because it's fresh milk is blias. Number two, the pan is treif. Okay. And then I let the pan sit. I mean, kashering pan is not so simple. I've got to do libun. Libun is complicated. Okay. So then I put the pan on the side, and someone used it Tuesday night for supper. So that's, at this point, the pan is the Ein Ben Yomo. It's the Ein Ben Yomo of milchiks, the Ein Ben Yomo of fleshiks. Same biyomo of basa b'chalav, but it's all in a biyomo. Having used it in 24 hours since Sunday night. Now it's Tuesday night, 48 hours. So now what? So machlekes is hatanaim. Is Tuesday night supper trade for kosher? I did wrong. I did not veger abanan by using the frying pan. Okay, but is the food trade? So that's a machlekes hatanaim. So how do we pass in terms of that? In terms of that, the Shulchan Aruch is very clear. Let's take a look. There's a lot going on in Siman Tzadik Gimel, but let's take at least begin. Take a peek. Siman Tzadik Gimel is all about Kalim. Yeah, it's the first of the Simanim about Kalim. It's about the core concept of Blias B'Kalim. Kedera Shebisha Babasar Levasha B'Chalav. The Shulchan Aruch opens with the language of that Braisa, which the Vilngon conveniently gives you the three places where this brisa appears. The first, the Vilna Gaon in the Sifkan Hav, the Zvachim Tzari Vav, Chulim Tzari Zayin, and Kudz Chulim Kuf Yud. The Kedir Shabisha Babasa Levasha Bachalav, the Imbisha Babasach Meis Laes, Aser Beno Sein Tav. So that's the language of the brisa. And he adds Meis Laes. So that tells me one thing and implies the second thing. It implies that Eina Ben Yomo doesn't make trade. And which he goes on to say, explicitly, Mshom Eis Leis, Kodim Shabisha Bo Havinosin Tan Lufgam, Umuter Hatavshil. So he says it's only Nosin Tan Lufgam once it's Eina Ben Yomo, and Nosin Tan Lufgam is Muter. Aval HaKedera Asra Levashbo Lo Basav Lo Chav. Okay, Shulchan Aruch also points us an interesting twist, which is if not the case I gave before, but rather if I use the frying pan for milchiks on Sunday morning and fleishiks on Monday evening, so that frying pan, so the fleish, the Monday night supper is kosher because I used the Eina Ben Yomo, and the Shulchan Aruch just said we paskin that no santam of kam is mutter. Okay, so Eina Ben Yomo does not make the food trade. But here I have now this funny pan. This pan is fleishik and milchik. And therefore I cannot use it for either. Because it was a milchik pan, but still a milchik pan. And now it has fleishik blias in it too. So I can't use it for either without the kasher. I have to think about that some more. But for now, Shulchan Aruch told us two key points. One of which is again that we pass no stam of kam mutter. So halacha lemaisa, if I use a kedera ben yom bas yoma, it makes the food treif. If I use a kedera she'ena bas yoma, it was the usher to use it, but it does the blias are no longer live and active. They don't impact the food, and because no stam of kam is mutter. Now I should mention right away, just sort of file away, we're going to see there are rare exceptions to that rule of nosan tam lufgam mutter. Two notable ones, we'll have to come back to this. Number one, chametz b'pesach, and the other one is when you're dealing with a davar charif. You're dealing with a davar charif. If I chopped up onions, it depends. I said before I use the frying pan for milchik Sunday morning and for fleishik Monday night. So the Monday night supper is kosher. The Monday supper is kosher unless I was sautéing onions. If I was sautéing onions, then the onions may be a problem. That might be problematic. Okay, so we'll get to Davar Charif, the very end of Basmahab's, the very Siman Tzadik Vav. And Chametz B'Pesach also, that's one of the exceptional aspects of Chametz B'Pesach, sort of the equivalent of Chametz B'Pesach Aser B'Mashahu. This is somewhat similar, sort of like a Mashahu, something to think about. Okay, but in general, no Stam V'Kam is Mutter, and we consider the Blia, the Ben Yomo Blia is not Lefkam, and therefore it does make treif, but Eina Ben Yomo Blia is Lefkam, and no Stam V'Kam is Mutter does not make treif, doesn't make anything else treif, won't impact anything else. And the Shulchan Aruch also, and maybe we'll wrap up with this, Shulchan Aruch also told us that we paskin that the definition, so that was a kulam, right? That we assume that Eina Ben Yomo doesn't make treif. Shulchan Aruch also gave us a chumrah, not chumrah in the classics, but he's follows the more machmir view that the shear of Eina ben Yomo is 24 hours. Interesting, Tosas, Rashi, we'll come back to, maybe we'll reopen with this Tosas next time. There's more ground this Tosas, but just to touch on this initial point, the long Tosas, Dir Maschel Bas Yoma, he says, Rashi says, when the top Rashi in the Amud says, Bas Yoma means that he cooked the Bishul Bo HaAkum HaYom, as opposed to Bishul Bo Esmo, cooking it today versus yesterday, which Tosas understands to mean that it, you only 24 hours, it's a question of calendar days. In other words, if I'm going to use a pan for breakfast, and I used it last night for supper, tray for supper, now I'm using it for breakfast, so that Rashi says, kosher, less than 24, it's only 12 hours or less, but it's the next day. And Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's grandson, who usually is, when you see Pir Shakunjus, then you see Rabbeinu Tam, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's a machlokas. But sometimes Rabbeinu Tam agreed with his grandfather. This is one of those cases. I have a long quote from Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam agreed, it's Linas Laila. Linas Laila Pogemes. He says, back in the old days, Lohaya Derech B'yam HaKadmon, Levashal Balaila. He says, interesting, he had toasted talk, in the old days. Nowadays, we're up late at night, sounds like we're cooking all night long. Back in the old days, the kitchen closed down at night. The Havdil, there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal today, and someone, one of these human interest pieces. So it's a nostalgic piece. I remember in the old days, they weren't broadcasting any TV at night. Remember the old days, the TV, the overnight there was no broadcast. Then they just showed you the colors. And eventually, at 7 o'clock in the morning, they started broadcasting it. Decrying how, nowadays everything is 24/7. So, Lahavdil, Tosa is saying, remember, in the old days, the tkuv was a Talmud, they didn't cook at night. The kitchen closed down. But now, apparently, maybe lighting was cheaper. Maybe lighting was cheaper, but tkuv was a Baliatosis. So they were up late at night more often. Maybe that's what they mean. But anyway, whatever is the historical background, Tosa says that as long as it's overnight, it's mutter. And they bring a zecher, interesting, a zecher l'davar from dinam of Ibur Tzura by Kachim. So they compare it to the din of lina, that the carbon sits overnight, even if you shechted the carbon right before shkia, if let's say you have the emurim, the part of the animal is supposed to be burnt in the mizbeach. So you shechted the carbon before shkia, and you did zrikas adam, and then you have the emurim. Either be burnt during the day or be burnt over the course of the night. But if the emurim sit out all night long, morning comes, they are now pasul. So Tosfos says not exactly the same, but it's a similar concept. A zeichel davar. At least it's an analogy. So that's the position of Rashi and Tosfos. Once it goes overnight, it's in the morning. It's already in a binyamo, and they think it's very, very difficult. Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the, I believe, a grand Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. I think Rabbeinu Baruch, Rabbeinu Yitzchak was Rabbeinu Tam's nephew and one of his primary Talmidim. Rabbeinu Baruch, I believe, was one of the four, if I remember correctly, one of the four major Talmidim of the Ri. And Baruch is not quoting Tosas so often. He wrote his own Sefer. He was one of the important Balei Tosas. He wrote one of the first Sifrei Halacha penned by the Balei Tosas called the Sefer HaTruma. Actually, quote here. Rabbeinu Baruch writes in his Sefer HaTruma that that's not the case. He disagreed vigorously with his Rabbi's Rebbe. With Rabbi Tam and with the Diuk and Rashi, said no, it's a me'es la'es. You have to wait a full 24 hours, and that is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. That is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. You have to wait a full 24 hours before you can call it a Eino Ben Yomo. Now, Ben Baruch raised another issue also, which Lina will pick up with next time, which is how do you restart the clock? As let's say I had the milchiks, so the Sunday morning milchiks, and then Sunday night fleishiks in the same pan. That's clearly ben yama. Good. Sunday morning milchiks and Monday morning fleishiks. You have to check the clock. Maybe Sunday morning was late breakfast, Monday morning was early breakfast. Okay, it'd be less than 24 hours. But if it's not, if it was an early Sunday morning, or you're hanging out for a trip, and Monday morning is a little bit later, it's 24 hours. Okay, ain't ben yama. But how about if we made parav? Sunday night. Sunday morning, you use the pan for fleishiks. And Sunday night, you use the pan for vegetables. So does that restart the clock? Now I start counting again 24 hours from Sunday night? Or no? Parv is irrelevant. It's an interesting question. And it's going to raise some larger issues that we'll pick up with the next time. That's, again, one of the larger, when the other issues Tosa is going to raise, in addition to the question of how you define Benyon, we said we paskin Meis Leis, the question of restarting the clock, that's a very significant question. Then we said also, we have to get next time Blina to the next Tosas, who raised the question of what's the lundus of saying the Kli is also Chathchila, but it doesn't make the food treif. Is there any logic to that? So Tosas actually will find, or is it just a question of practically I need to create a Gzeir, I need to create a Hecker? So Tosas says no. There is a logical distinction to be drawn, and that's what the Chacham are leaning on, and Tosas is going to begin to point out that logical distinction. We differentiate cases of Belias Pagumos into two types. There are Belias Pagumos that are a problem l'chatchila, and there are Belias Pagumos that are not a problem l'chatchila. Or the Belias Pagumos, we'll see. Some, and it's a distinction that makes a big difference. Tosa is going to get into the question of practically how do you kasher. A lot of the halachas of kashering come from the second Tosa. This is a very, very, very rich sugya. We had a chance to get our feet wet, and Rich said we're going to continue next time. We'll see also next time, we'll get more into Okel Shulchan Aruch again. We saw the language of the Shulchan Aruch. There's a lot in the Ramah. We raised it last time. The Ramah here talks about potlids. He began to talk about potlids and steam. So we're going to get further into the potlids over here as we get further into Siman Sadi Gimel. Shekhar Chevron.
Term usur benosin tam. It shouldn't matter that whether nosin tam or not, if it's in la'es la'es.
Well, so there's no sin tam. You're asking if it's in meis la'es, so I have to say no sin tam.
Right.
Meis la'es means that the bli is not pogum. But remember, the no sin tam, that's actually the language of the brice itself. The brice that says, Kadesh Bishop of Usur Goyvash Bokhalov, the imbisham. I am not allowed to use the fleshik pan for milchiks. The imbish, let's say I did use a flesh pan for milchiks. So is it also as a mutter? The rabbi says, well, benos and tam. That is, I have to look at how much is about the bashishim. It is giving off flavor, but it is about the bashishim. So if I have a aluminum, I have a thin-walled stainless steel soup pot. It's a fleshik, a soup pot with very thin walls and a big pot with a lot of capacity. I made a milchik a soup in the fleshik pot. So even if it's a benyomo, so there are fleshik blias that are emerging, active, live and active blias emerging into the milk. The milk's good. If I measure the volume of the pot and the contents of the volume of the soup, and I determine that the milk of the soup is 60 times as voluminous as the fleshik pot, so then it's mutter.
What I'm saying is, when you bring in the term, when the Shulchan Aruch brings in the term nosin tam, therefore then brings in the possibility of the shishim.
Right.
If the nosin tam phrase wasn't there, you couldn't necessarily get away with shishim either in la'es la'es, if it's done in the
right. Because in other words, to be
it gives you another heter out of the
right. There are two exit ramps.
Right.
I stuck the fleshik fork into the scrambled eggs and cheese.
Right.
So one question is, the first question I was going to ask is, well, that fleshik fork, was it a ben, when was the last time you used it for fleshik? If it's a benyom, any benyomo, we already saved the eggs. If you say, no, the taka was a benyomo, I used it 12 hours earlier for hot fleshik. So then the next question is, and we'll have to talk about restarting the clock. And then the next question is, okay, well, maybe, but how big was the fork and how much eggs? And either one could save you. The food could be kosher because the kli was any benyomo, or the food could be kosher because the shishim and the food against the kli. Either one is sufficient to be matter the food.
No, what I'm saying is, it goes back to the point of the nosing tam. I was just wondering, the nosing tam of gam option, does that mean it doesn't become nosing tam of gam until the lace period is over? According to the sheet that says nosing tam of gam is mutter, then it doesn't start to become bad, the lefgam part, until after la'es time or bayomo time.
Right.
But before that, it's always a good taste.
Right.
Versus the other shita implies even a bad taste right away. It's also no matter what.
Correct.
So I guess the question is, so the Shulchan Aruch and Paskin is that, like, it's after the in that first 24-hour period, it is never a bad taste.
Correct. Correct. Right. You're saying the language of Benos and Tam also implies that the Tam during the first 24 hours is a Tam L'Shava. Yeah,
right.
That's also true. Correct. But both that language may not imply. It's an interesting point.
And that's why the Ramah comes up with saying is, well, then if you have Shishim, because as the Ramah is consistent, anytime Benos and Tam is an option.
Oh, yes. So that's another issue, right, which is Shulchan Aruch.
It's
saying Benos and Tam is Kfeila.
Right.
Benos and Tam is Kfeila, and the Ramah is once again, the Ashkenazim are raising the Shishim. Correct.
That we've been learning. Correct. Every time Benos and Tam is an option, the Ramah says, but then Shishim is also an option.
Yeah, maybe let's get back to that, because there's opening Shach and Zimin Sai Gimel starts talking about Kfeila. Is it true? Are we talking about Kfeila here also? That's what the Shach Taka says. The Shach and Sivkan Aleph says, yeah, this means. This means kefela, and the Ramah starts talking about calculating. Tarach l'shayer implies you're using shishim. He also says the call of kader. We'll have to get to that next time.